Blog Talk Radio.
Aloha and welcome to Talking Pictures. I'm your host, Paul Booth. This is the first episode. We do always broadcast from sunny Southern California, and we're joined by guests from New York, Tampa, Hawaii. We're almost to the point where we're going to be having guests from Vancouver, Toronto, all over the place. But I'm happy to say that I am in the Southwest right now at our home away from home studio, recording area, creative space, whatever you want to call it. Very thankful to be here today. I've been told I say thank you too much on the show, but when you have such a great team of people that you work with and you have wonderful guests and you get to sit around talking about your favorite thing, why not be thankful? We should be thankful just to be here. Going to dedicate this episode, like the last one, to our late, great marketing girl, Michi. She helped take the show international, and we do not forget that. The producers and I and the sound guy and I have been talking, and hasn't even been a couple of weeks, but we miss you, and thank you for sharing, Michi. With that, I'm going to jump into a couple of films that I found at the library. I had seen them all, except for one, but I'm going to bring it into the conversation to illustrate some points about sequels. I think we're living in a sequel remake world where I don't even know if Hollywood knows how to spell the word originality anymore. But all personal opinions aside, and being tired of hearing how everything's going to be redone and reshot, and I was very happy to find at this library that used to charge for movies, but now they don't. So I kind of went wild and just started finding all these great things that I had been wanting to revisit. But I had been through the collections at the other branches of libraries that I go to. So I was kind of at a going overboard on Netflix and then just spending a lot of time with screeners that guests sent me. So I didn't get a chance. There's a films I would think about, like Do the Right Thing, and we're going to talk about Brian De Palma's Casualties of War and Superman 2. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Richard Donner cut. When I went back the next time, I saw that they had that Wag the Dog, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and I was so happy to find these films because they're films that I think you see them and you kind of get oversaturated by them. You enjoy them too much in the moment, and sometimes you take them for granted. And it's interesting for me for a film when sometimes you go back and you like it more or you like it less, or maybe sometimes you don't like it at all and it used to be one of your favorites. I think that's the coolest thing about watching movies is that it's always different. For someone to say, I don't like this movie, I'll never watch it again. Yeah, that is a valid opinion. Everybody's opinion is valid. But I'm excited to do this because I was able to find Wag the Dog and Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade, Casualties of War, and Do the Right Thing. I had been thinking about literally a few days before I came across them. So this was like a kid in a candy store. I mean, I must have been in the library an hour shifting and putting movies back and forth, and I ended up borrowing Deliverance and Mosquito Coast with River Phoenix and Harrison Ford, and I didn't get to them because I was busy with family visiting and planning for work-related stuff. But I'm happy to be here today. Let's jump in already. Enough of me babbling, even though the rest of the show is going to be me babbling. Do the Right Thing. This has been one of my favorite movies since I saw it in 1990 when it hit VHS. It came out in 1989. My father told me I had to watch it, and it was R-rated. And my father would never let me watch R-rated movies, but he would let me watch R-rated movies if there was a social purpose, like Born on the 4th of July, JFK, Do the Right Thing, wanting me to learn to respect veterans, question our government and learn about the president, and then of course do the right thing to never be racist. And I thank my father for that. I thank him for all the movies that we've seen together. We go to the movies together weekly, and we recently saw Bradley Cooper's Burnt, which I do suggest. It might be hit and miss with some of you, but Bradley Cooper has always delivers. That's another beautiful part of movies. You might not like the costumes. You might not like that they chose to shoot in Chicago instead of New York. But if Bradley Cooper does his job, then the movie serves its purpose. So with that, do the right thing. I am going to say, first of all, I don't have a racist bone in my body. My least favorite word in the human language is racism. I think it's despicable. I'm not even going to go into how much I dislike it. But Do the Right Thing is an interesting film to me because my father, like Danny Aiello, had a pizza place for 20 years. So, and I'm Italian. My grandmother's Italian, my mother. And there's rumors in the family that we are part African-American. Again, I just like saying people. So when if I reference ethnicities, it's just for the point of the movie. So I could see this film and relate to also being Mexican-American, that when I don't shave, I get these funny looks sometimes from Caucasian people. And my dad's Caucasian. And I would hear Mexican jokes from some of his siblings, and then I would hear from my Mexican relatives things that Caucasians did wrong. And I still always just see it as people. There's dumb people, there's bad people. So Do the Right Thing for me. There's always this interesting film where I cannot say that I can relate to being African American in Brooklyn, in New York. But I can relate to the feelings of being judged, whether it's ethnicity, long hair, wearing a beard. I live in a city where men shouldn't have a belly, and I have a little belly. This is all about humanity. This is all about, it's not about the color of the skin, and that's what we need to learn. And Spike Lee came out, if I remember correctly, this is his third film. He had She's Gotta Have It, School Days. And then he just stormed on the scene with Do the Right Thing. Of course, he's one of the most controversial American film directors that we've ever had. He's one of my favorites. I don't like how sometimes he kind of does reverse racism himself, playing the he doesn't have five Oscars because he's African-American, black, colored, whatever anyone wants to call it, or he himself calls it. I call him a human. He should call me a human. I would not like if he called me white man or said I don't understand Miles Davis because my father wasn't born in Harlem. Well, then that would mean he doesn't understand pizza because he wasn't born in Italy. So Do the Right Thing to me. This film took on a whole new light because I completely disagree with the police brutality, which is in our news again today in New York. Of course, I would never agree with police murdering anybody of any ethnicity. So let's just cut out that it was about murdering Radio Raheem, Bill Nunn. I also believe that they shouldn't have been in the place of business disrespecting the owner's rules and making noise and causing trouble. Did it deserve violence? No. Did it deserve a riot? No. Did it deserve death? No. But being on the other side of having a father who owned a business, we didn't like when a couple of customers were drunk and picked a fight with my father. I had seen my father get into altercations to defend himself, and there was no call for it. So this was not that my father was in the right because he was a Caucasian man and it was a Hawaiian guy, or the Hawaiian guy should have been able to do what he wanted because it's Hawaii. So Spike Lee, master director. I think he's made 20 films, a little over 20 films. I like almost everything he's done. I didn't like Red Hook Summer. I didn't like Bamboozled. Mo' Better Blues is hit and miss depending on my mood. But Malcolm X, Spike's intent is drives my work. When I the only film I've directed, I took a lot from Spike. When I produce films, I try to look for directors that have the same passion and intent as Spike to get in there and tell a story and shake it up. This show, I'm talking about Spike right now because I love Spike. And I don't have to be anything but a person to like Spike. So do the right thing with the premise of it being the hottest day of the summer in Brooklyn. And it creates all this tension. And Spike just did such a great job with the great cinematographer, Ernest Dickerson, who went on to becoming a great director himself. Do the right thing. If you have not seen this, see it. Get out to your library. If they don't have it, tell your librarian to order it. If you have seen it, go back and look at the way some of racial things have changed in the world, especially since 9/11, where now we do look down on people because of religions, where that religion happens to have different skin color too. So I'm going to leave it at that because I just want to say that it was a pleasure. It was so much fun to revisit Do the Right Thing. All the filmmaking is just so great. And that's all I'm going to say about that. The next film I got to revisit, which was a rough one that I saw when I was a kid. I want to say it's 1987, 88. This is Michael J. Fox and a young Sean Penn. This is pre-Oscar winning Sean Penn. This is one of his first serious roles. This is kind of after the Jeff Spicoli phase. He had been in Taps, which was a serious role. And At Close Range with Christopher Walken. So he was establishing himself as serious. He didn't have his craft and the control that he has it in now. So you could see he was still mimicking De Niro, but all great artists mimic someone. However, Casualties of War, Vietnam War film, first appearance by a young John C. Reilly, who you know from Chicago, Boogie Nights, Magnolia. You see his face, you know exactly who he is, the wonderful character actor John C. Reilly. And these Michael J. Fox is the only one that does not get involved. But they go on into the Vietnam jungle during the war, and they kidnap a young Vietnamese girl, not underage, but they kidnap her and they rape her. And it's about what the platoon goes through and the consequences that they pay. This film was greatly overlooked because if you go back to 1987, this is right after Platoon. Platoon is the gold standard of Vietnam films. And then in 1987, of course, you have Wall Street. You have just a lot of things that detracted from this film. And this was Michael J. Fox, one of his first serious roles. And he's got great serious movies like Bright Lights, Big City. And he's just an all-around good actor who thankfully has done things that have, for some of us, taking him out of just being the Back to the Future guy. But Casualties of War, tough film to see, like Do the Right Thing, but you have to check it out because you got to see Michael J. Fox besides Marty McFly. You got to see The Dark Side, and it's directed by the great Brian De Palma, who's best known for Scarface to mass audiences. He has some other great films, Raising Kane, and Body Heat was not De Palma. I don't know what De Palma's been up to. I haven't. Snake Eyes, Nicolas Cage. Check that out on Netflix. Really cool movie. But these two films, I say talking about the rough films because, again, I'm going to allude to this is I'm influenced by Spike, so I want to talk about some films that are rough. The next one is Pure Fun, the movie that introduced me to cinema and gave me, and I'm not saying this making this about me, but I'm saying this is how much I love this film. It's why we're here. It's why we have this podcast. It's led to relationships and journeys and friendships, and it's Superman 2. It's not the way you would think. Somebody said, I saw Lawrence of Arabia and I had to do that. I saw Citizen Kane. I had to make movies. Again, it was an experience with my father. I saw Superman 2. I must have been 3 years old or 4 years old at his college film history class. And he took me to the free screening, and I remember leaving the kind of movie theater that they had at the college, and I still remember to this day sitting on my dad's shoulders and looking for Superman and really thinking that Superman was gonna come around. And this is where I think the power of movies is always there, and it can hit you at any age. And that is, I'm so excited just talking about it. I love that I was 3 or 4 years old seeing Superman 2, and then a couple of weeks ago I went and saw Bradley Cooper and Vern with my dad, and that we can have these great experiences together, whether the movie's fun or tough, whether we're having a tough time as father and son, or we're having a wonderful, wonderful day. It's the great power of cinema. So I mentioned Superman 2 because, yeah, you're going to look back at it. It was being made during one. A lot of people don't know that. It was meant to be a longer version, and then they had some problem with the directors. So that's why there's a Richard Donner, director of Lethal Weapon 1, 2, and 3, and 4, I believe. A Richard Donner cut, which is better than this other one directed by Richard Lester. So again, don't get them mixed up. Richard Donner cut is better than the Richard Lester cut. But Superman 2, the nostalgia of part one, most people go with part three was just a Richard Pryor vehicle. This will lead us into the next part of the discussion before we get into Wag the Dog, which is going to scare, which scares me, especially with what's politically going on in the world. Oh my God, I'm just so excited. Let me catch my breath here for a second, take a drink of water. So Superman 2, get out and find it. Make sure you find the Richard Donner cut. And for those of you that like Superman 1, hey, that's your thing, that's your deal. I'd probably like Superman 1 too if it wasn't the first movie that I remember seeing. People will say to me, "You're three, you didn't remember." I remember it. I can tell you where I was. I can tell you where that college was. It was just a wonderful time, wonderful night. Changed my life. With that, we will lead into a discussion here about sequels and remakes. I discovered The Hangover 3. I hadn't seen it. Oddly, it was filmed a couple off ramps from my house, so I was interested in seeing whatever scenes they filmed there, because I remember when they closed the freeway, everybody went bananas. Like, it's so bad that Bradley Cooper is driving a car down the freeway. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is what I'm going to premise this with. Of course, that was the third film, again, 1989. What a great year. When I think back, 1989 was a great year for film. I was only 10 years old, and I was exposed to Batman and Indiana Jones and, of course, Do the Right Thing and Born on the 4th of July. So you're getting action and adventure, and you're getting subversive direction from Steven Spielberg by because he's Jewish, he's doing stuff cruel to Nazis, which he should do. We're not going to get into the Holocaust and all that, but the subversive direction of it. I love how Indy whoops the Nazis' ass. But Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade was this great bringing together of the history and current of Sean Connery playing Harrison Ford's father. If you have not seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Temple of Doom is the best Indiana Jones film. For some reason, be it Back to the Future, Lethal Weapon 2, Godfather. For some reason, there's a lot of trilogies or even movies with a lot of movies, four or five or six, except for Rocky, where part two seems to be better than part one and definitely better than part three or four, whatever. Temple of Doom to me is the best Indiana Jones movie, like Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars. Don't get me started on the new trilogy, and I'm not going to even mention how we're going to start another trilogy of Star Wars. It's like enough already. But Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, of course, it's supposed to be The Last Crusade, but they did end up making a part four at least 15 years later, so it wasn't too quick. And I read the other day they're not going to recast Harrison Ford, so Indiana Jones movies will not per se carry on once we unfortunately and sadly lose Harrison Ford. So I'm not happy when the day comes that we lose Harrison Ford as a human and an actor, but I would not watch Indiana Jones. Indy is Harrison Ford, period. So Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I tie into The Hangover because The Hangover was once again movies going too far with the third one. Even though Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade didn't, and Lethal Weapon, Back to the Future, put 20 people in a room, 10 will say yes, 10 will say no. It was fun. They played with the Western. Robert Zemeckis wanted to make a Western. What director doesn't? But Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, fun film, great stunts, wonderful chemistry between Sean Connery and Harrison Ford. Spielberg on the top of his game, his usual team of editor, composer, John Williams, you know. But I mentioned The Hangover because I really loved One. I think One was so refreshing, even though when you think about One, there's nothing about it that's not a big surprise. I mean, wow, guys go out on a bachelor party and get drunk and act stupid, and we acted like this was some crazy concept. It burst Zach Galifianakis on the scene. Of course, I'd have to check. Please, I don't remember Bradley Cooper being as big as he was before The Hangover, but what an actor, Bradley Cooper, who's since had Oscar-nominated roles in American Sniper, Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle, which I didn't care for, but he was good in it. He even produces now. He has an Oscar nomination as a producer with Clint Eastwood, so that puts him with a long list of great actors who have been nominated for Best Picture. But Hangover 3, I actually didn't finish watching it. I just thought it was so stupid. I thought it was so contrived. I thought it was going to be something about how they ended up doing this or that and forgot and got high or drunk. And there was just nothing that could find an original fiber in my body. And I'm such a Bradley Cooper fan that it's, I'm yet to see something I don't enjoy. So it was really hard to be watching this and make me cringe. So I wanted to let you know that as we get into Rocky III, stay away from Rocky III. Don't go see this new Creed. Rocky Balboa, Sylvester Stallone, Expendables 3, 2, 1 shouldn't even happen. I all do respect you, Sylvester Stallone. You went through the sad, tragic thing of losing a son. I can't say what that must be like. But please, before your time comes, your money, your power, your connections, make a movie where you aren't Rocky or Rambo. Talk about Rambo 3. God, that was the worst Cold War propaganda bologna sandwich where you have to go to Afghan and fight a war. It's like you did it with Rocky IV. You managed to make Rocky IV a decent film. And Rocky V and VI, to me, killed all the Rocky films with the first one. It's like, Stallone, please take that talent and those millions and do something just that is not Rocky or Rambo. Do something with that talent that we know you have. And this is what I love about movies, is that it can take you all over the place. A lot of these episodes, they're so fun. We get to talk about a director, hear their process, kind of see what influences them. And then sometimes we have our guest podcast producer on as a guest, and him and I go through different films that we like. This was just a genuinely fun library experience where, as I was picking the films, I was thinking, I know this is going to be an episode where I think I can just revisit these films, except for Hangover 3, let people know to check these out, to go back to them, which brings me, and we send from Talking Pictures, we send our prayers, aloha and love, to the wonderful city of Paris that means a lot to me because it is my mother's favorite city and place to go. Everything in her house is Eiffel Tower, from clocks to bags to suitcases to I don't even know they even made this many things shaped like the Eiffel Tower. This great tragedy that went on through terrorism. I of course relate to France through the films by Godard and Truffaut and other rare ones that you can find. Beautiful city. I love the sound of the language. I've always wanted to go there. I'm of course hesitant now. I don't know if or when I will be able to go there or what this is going to lead to. It's just a sad time to know that Wag the Dog, 1997, we have Barry Levinson, the great Oscar-winning director of Rain Man. We have Dustin Hoffman in an Oscar-nominated role playing a film producer. We have Robert De Niro and Anne Heche, and they contrive a war to take energy off of the president. And in later years, we saw a president, I'm not going to say who, create war to take energy away from what he was doing that was stupid. And this movie becomes more and more true as time goes on. And I think the great sign of any filmmaker is to be that little bit of iconoclast who sees what's coming down the pike and understands that there's crazy things going on. And Wag the Dog is just so hard to explain. It's shot by Robert Richardson, who of course is Oliver Stone cinematographer for Platoon, Wall Street, Born on the 4th of July, JFK. He shot Martin Scorsese's Hugo, for which he has an Oscar, The Aviator, for which he has an Oscar, Shine a Light, the Rolling Stones movie. He shot Rob Reiner's A Few Good Men. He's a great cinematographer, but Wag the Dog was really scary to rewatch. It came out when I was 18, and to now watch as a going on 37 years old in about 2 months, and to think that the government might actually be putting things on for the media to draw attention where it wants it to go. Let's face it, they're doing it. This movie was far ahead of its time. This was before Bologna Sandwich, Fox News Channel. This was before a billionaire who just was tired of counting his money, so he'd buy a news company. This was a really kind of to be satirical. In fact, it is satirical, but in fact, there's even a scene in the movie where they say that the president is seen kissing an intern with a beret, and the photo was staged exactly like the Monica Lewinsky photo, and this was before that happened with Bill Clinton. So it was a complete coincidence. But Wag the Dog, I'm sure you've heard of it, and it is like what the saying means. The country does wag, the tail wags the dog sometimes. But I suggest going back to this film with an open mind and an open heart. I'm going to say it for both sides. Put your liberal baloney aside, put your Republican baloney aside. Watch it as a film viewer, film lover, filmmaker. These films that I've listed here tonight or today, this morning, do the right thing. Wag the Dog, Casualties of War, you must see. There's things in there, even if it's one shot, one scene, one emotion, one thing from an actor that you can take. You must see to make films if you want to make films. This isn't being snobby, talking down to anyone. These are just great works of art. Of course, like we said, Wag the Dog is Barry Levinson. Oscar-winning director Brian De Palma is Casualties of War, and Spike Lee, Do the Right Thing. All directors who have continued to be successful and have brought us stories that fit their vision. They might not be for everyone, but they have a vision that is truthful and has great characters and well-defined characters. Now, Hangover 3, I want to tell you, pass on it, dud. no point in watching that movie. Two, I don't even remember, so that tells you what I think of it. But always Bradley Cooper, please check him out. Support that young man. Well, he's a little bit older than me, so I shouldn't say young man. Great actor. He's quickly going to join the ranks of Leonardo DiCaprio. Him, Joaquin Phoenix. These are going to be the guys that carry it on like Pacino and De Niro did after, or with and after Newman, Brando, James Dean dying so young, unfortunately. But, this has been a great half hour sitting here talking with you. Again, I'm just going to recap so you have it. Write it down. Do the Right Thing. 1989, Spike Lee. Tough film to watch about racism. Got to be seen. Casualties of War, 1987. Sean Penn and Michael J. Fox. Superman 2, have a blast. Superman 3, dumb. Superman 4, dumb. Watch 1 and 2. Watch them back to back. Take a look at Wag the Dog and try to not be too scared at where this world has been going and is going to continue to go, unfortunately. And then Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. It's always fun to take all three, even though the older I get, the darker and darker Raiders of the Lost Ark gets for me. There's just so much in there that Spielberg throws in there at his anger at Nazis, which we should all have, but it takes it past just an action B serial movie. It's shot on Kauai, which is where I grew up, so I have to always love the film and respect it. But Temple of Doom, fun one, and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, a fun one. Skip Kingdom of Crystal Skull. I don't even know the name of Indiana Jones 4. All my respect to the friends in Hawaii I know that worked on it and my mentor who worked on it. But with that, I want to say that I'm happy to have been able to come on here and share this. This is just one library trip for me, and this was exciting. I actually didn't get to watch two films that I had wanted to talk about, so I wasn't going to proceed with my old reviews. And I learned a lot. I've seen Do the Right Thing 10 or 12 times. I learned viewing. I've seen Casualties of War 5 or 8 times, Wag the Dog 5 or 8 times, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade at least 10 times, Superman 2 I've been watching my whole life, so I can't remember how many times I've seen it. And so I just want to again express, as always, go back and watch a film. Don't say you've seen it. Don't say you know. Don't say the ending spoiled it. You're always going to get out of the film. And that's why we're here, because we love movies and we want to talk about them, share them, express them. Coming up this week, we're going to have some special guests for you. So please tune back in and tell your friends, check out Talking Pictures. We're going to be having episodes for you each week. I believe this is episode 47, which means that episode 50 is coming up. So we don't know exactly what we're going to have for you, but just be ready to celebrate episode 50 with us. As we are in 35 countries and 17 states, it's going to be a true pleasure to roll out episode 50. I'm going to sign off with my closing sign off that I always sign off with. Do whatever you're going to do today. Have a wonderful day, but make sure and watch at least one good movie. Mandatory prescription from this doctor and lover of film. Take care and aloha.